Okay, so I am recording. Okay, good evening, everybody. So, thank you very much. Last week I had to cancel, unfortunately, because we had to get ready. We had to pick up the Pesach order. It comes whenever it comes. So, this is actually a continuation of the same Gemara that we were speaking about 2 weeks ago. Le 2 weeks ago, we were speaking about the Gemara that discussed the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about whether or not the fact that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were each going in their own direction, if that was subject to the Aveira of Lois Goydidu or not. And the Gemara came out there that because Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were both authorities in their own right, they had the status of two separate Bate Dinim. And the way Rava concluded there, two separate Bate Dinim, even if they're operating in the same city, they're not subject to Lois Goydidu. It's divided enough, it's separate enough that each group is allowed to keep its own interpretations. That's what we discussed last time. So we're going to discuss tonight some fascinating history, if you will, about the arguments between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We're always familiar that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we're always debating different halachas. Beis Shammai is usually the more stringent of the two. Beis Hillel is usually the more lenient of the two. There are exceptions, but Beis Hillel is usually the more lenient of the two. And we're all familiar with thinking that we end up paskening the ruling, the final ruling is like Beis Hillel. All of this is common knowledge. The Gemara in Yevamos actually tells us that it's not so simple at all. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us on Daf Yud Daled Amud Aleph that there's actually a dispute in the Gemara. Did Beis Shammai, did they ever submit themselves? Were they machnia themselves to Beis Hillel, and did they end up going along with Beis Hillel in the end, or did Beis Shammai continue their own ruling and operated independently of Beis Hillel through all the generations? So there's actually a big dispute there in the Gemara in Yevamos, if Beis Shammai went in their own direction or if at the end they came around to Beis Hillel. So let's learn that Gemara together, and this will introduce us to a very interesting topic. The Gemara says in Yevamos, Daf Yud Daled, Amud Aleph, Ubeplugta. So the Gemara tells us that there's a big machlokes if Beis Shammai went according to their own ruling or whether they subjugated their opinion to Beis Hillel. Hi, Jay, how are you? Rav says, Loi asu Beis Shammai kedivrei. So Rav says that Beis Shammai never followed their own ruling. It was only academic. They were arguing with Beis Hillel, but at the end, they went along with Beis Hillel's ruling. Loi asu Beis Shammai kedivrei. Beis Shammai never followed their own ruling. However, Shmuel says, asu v'asu. Shmuel says they certainly did their own ruling. So you have Beis Hillel going in one direction and Beis Shammai going in the other direction. So the Gemara says, Amos. What point in history are we discussing here? We have a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel if Beis Shammai followed their own rulings and went off in their own direction, or whether they ended up coming around to Beis Hillel. At what point in history are we discussing? So the Gemara tells us, Ilema kodem basko. If we're speaking about before the heavenly voice came out, that we're going to learn about this. There was a heavenly voice that came out and said that the halacha follows Beis Hillel. If we're referring to before the heavenly voice came out, that means that there was a hung jury between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Before there was a baskal, there was no mechanism to rule like one more than the other. Then my time in the manda omer loy also. So then why would Rav say that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion? What's stopping them from following their own opinion if it's before the official ruling of Beis Hillel? The Elala Achar Baskol. So perhaps we'll say that we're arguing after the Baskol, the heavenly voice went out and Paskin and decided in favor of Beis Hillel. But if we're discussing after the heavenly voice went out, my time in the Manda Omer also, then why does Shmuel say that Beis Shammai went off in their own direction and followed their own ruling? If a bas kol came out and said that we should follow Beis Hillel, why would Beis Shammai do different? So the Gemara gives us two options. We can either say that the dispute between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not Beis Shammai followed their own ruling and went off in their own direction, might have been before the Paschal. Ve'iboy say malachar Paschal, or we can say that Rav and Shmuel are even disputing after the Paschal, and there's still an opinion that Beis Shammai never came around to Beis Hillel's line of thinking. Iboy say makoyd the Paschal, it can be before the Paschal. So what would the machlekes Rav and Shmuel be? Why should we, before the Paschal, we don't have any heavenly, any metaphysical way of ruling one over the other. Why would there be a dispute between Rav and Shmuel if Beis Shammai followed their own ruling? So here was the case. Here are the facts. Kegoin de Beis Hillel Ruba. So the Gemara tells us that the fact of the matter was that Beis Hillel was the majority. There were more Talmidei Chachamim in the camp of Beis Hillel than there were in the camp of Beis Shammai. More Talmidei Chachamim felt the way Beis Hillel felt, and it was only the minority of the Talmidei Chachamim that felt the way Beis Shammai felt. Now, normally we paskin Acharei Rav Mahatos. Normally, the Torah tells us to follow the majority. So, Laman Da'omar Le'asu, according to Rav, that Beis Shammai never followed their own ruling. They were obligated, they were obliged to follow the reason of Beis Hillel. Now we understand the whole Beis Hillel Ruba, because Beis Hillel was the majority, and like it or not, the minority has to subject itself to the majority, and they had to follow Beis Hillel. Uman da Amar Asu, but the reason why Shmuel says that Beis Shammai still were allowed to follow their own ruling, because Ki Azlin on Basar Ruba, when do we have to follow the majority? Hechi d'chi hadadi ninu. That's when all other factors are the same. But Hacha, the Gemara tells us, Beis Shammai mechad ditvei. Beis Shammai were smarter. They were sharper. So this is very interesting. It seems like it was public, it was common knowledge, it was acknowledged that Beis Hillel was the majority, Beis Shammai were in the minority, but Beis Shammai were known to be sharper, they were known to be smarter. So the Gemara, the Talmidei Chachamim of that time, simply didn't know what the halacha is. Do we still follow the majority? Even though clearly the Talmidei Chachamim in the minority, Beis Shammai, are smarter and sharper? Or in this case, is it an exception? Is the majority required to go along with the minority because everybody acknowledges that Beis Shammai had a more penetrating analysis, Beis Shammai was sharper, Beis Shammai was smarter? That was the standoff between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel were the majority, and ordinarily majority rules, but over here, clearly Beis Shammai had sharper arguments, they had a more penetrating analysis, so perhaps we should follow Beis Shammai. That was the standoff, and this was undecided. So the reason why Shmuel says that Beis Shammai was able to follow their own reasoning is because the rule of Achrei Rabu Mahatos doesn't apply if the minority are clearly sharper than the majority, and there was a standoff. Beis Hillel were entitled to do their opinion because they were the majority, and Beis Shammai was entitled to do their opinion because they're not bound by the majority, because they were acknowledged as being the sharper opinion, the more penetrating analysis of the two. That's the first side of the Gemara. Iboy Seima, and if you want, we can say La'achar Paschal, that they are Rav and Shmuel are arguing after the Paschal. Manda Omer Loi Asu, according to Rav, so Beis Shammai had to follow Beis Hillel because it was after a Paschal, a heavenly voice came out and ruled like Beis Hillel. The Hanafka Paschal, there was a Paschal. Umanda Omer Asu, but according to Shmuel, the reason why Beis Shammai were still allowed to follow their own opinion is because we follow Rabbi Yeshua, the Omer Eimashkifin Babaschal, Rabbi Yeshua says that once the Torah was given, so this is a powerful statement, once the Torah was given, the Torah is out of the hands of the heavens. So to speak, it's out of Hashem's hands. Hashem gave the Torah over to the Talmidei Chachamim, and it's up to the Talmidei Chachamim to decide. So this is an amazing situation, that we have a machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Torah tells us to follow the majority. Beis Hillel is the majority. However, Beis Shammai are sharper. They have a more penetrating analysis. They have a more clear, and their arguments were more articulate and more sharp. So they felt they were exempt from the rule of Achrei Rav Mahatos. And there's a standoff. And even the heavenly voice that would come out and say that we should follow Beis Hillel anyway, because we should still follow the majority. Rabbi Yeshua says we don't follow the heavenly voice. And therefore, we don't have a mechanism here. There's nothing in place to tell us how to rule in this case. So Shmuel says that Beis Shammai were permitted, although they're the minority opinion, they were permitted to follow their own minority opinion. They were not bound to the majority because they were sharper. And even the Bas Kol is immaterial because Loi B'Shamayim Hi, we don't have to follow the Bas Kol. Now let's learn more about that. The Gemara in Erevin says the same thing as the Gemara in Yavamis. The Gemara in Erevin tells us that Shalash Shonim Nechleku Beis Shammai U'Beisel, that there was a raging argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that went on for 3 years. And again, like we just saw in the Gemara in Yavamis, there we don't have any mechanism, we had no process to decide to resolve the arguments between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. There was no process to resolve the argument. Halalu oimrim halacha kimoiseinu. So Beis Hillel would say the halacha should follow us because we're the majority. Halalu oimrim halacha kimoiseinu. And Beis Shammai would say the halacha should follow us because we are, our arguments are sharper, are more lucid, are more penetrating. Yotza bas kol v'amra. A heavenly voice went out and said, Elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim hem. That both the opinion of Beis Shammai and both the opinion of Beis Hillel have validity. They're both the words of the living Hashem, the living God, that they're both clearly, they're both rooted in the principles of the Torah, and both opinions were arrived at legitimately. They both have validity. You're learning a Gemara, and you arrive at a certain conclusion. That's a valid conclusion because you used the methodology of the learning, you used the principles of the learning, and therefore you are allowed to follow your conclusion. You're allowed to follow your conclusion because you both are using the Torah, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chai. However, says the Bas Kol Halacha k'Beis Hillel, although it's true that Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, nevertheless the Halacha follows Beis Hillel. That was the Bas Kol that we were referring to before. The Bas Kol came out and ruled in favor of Beis Hillel. Now, the Gemara tells us, this is the Gemara in Erevin. If it's true that Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, if it's true that both of their words are true and valid, so how was Beis Hillel merit? How did they merit that the halacha should follow them? So the Gemara tells us something very interesting, and this is a factor in deciding the halacha. Mipnei shenoichin va'aluvin hayu, because they were easy to get along with, and they were tolerant. They didn't respond. If somebody would insult Beis Hillel, they wouldn't respond. V'shoinen divrayim adivrei Beis Shammai. Not only did they review and teach their own opinion, they even taught the opinion of Beis Shammai. And v'loyoid, not only that, elishmakdim adivrei Beis Shammai adivrayim, they would always preface Beis Shammai's words to their own words. That's how humble Beis Hillel was. Before there was a reconciliation before there was a process to decide if we pass like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel would constantly review their own opinion, and they would review the opinion of Beis Shammai. not to preach or anything like that, but it's very interesting because very often you notice there's an argument going on. One side is saying one way and the other side is saying the other way. So sometimes you're tempted to ask, can you even repeat my side of the argument? In other words, you're busy saying your side, I'm saying my side. Is each side able to articulate the other position of the other side? Sometimes you're not even aware what the other side is saying. We're so busy arguing and trying to make our own point, we're not open to hearing the other side. Beis Hillel was so humble that they were arguing for 3 years straight with Beis Shammai trying to prove their point. And until there was a process to decide the halacha, they would always review and teach their opinion along with their opponent, along with Beis Shammai's opinion. And not only that, they would teach Beis Shammai's opinion first. This is what my opponent says. This is the opinion of my opponent. And I humbly would suggest that this is the proper halacha. But they always would preface the shir with the opposing view, the view of Beis Shammai. In that merit, the Bas Kol came out and ruled in favor of Beis Hillel. Both opinions were valid, And there was really no process to decide which opinion was more right than the other. And the deciding factor was the humility of Beis Hillel. It's an amazing Gemara in its own right. The Gemara gives us an example how Beis Hillel would always give honor and preface Beis Shammai to their own opinion. There's a well-known Gemara in Maseches Sukkah. Misha haya roishoi v'rubai b'sukkah. Imagine if a person is sitting in his sukkah, but his table is inside the house. Imagine if your sukkah is up against the back door, and your table is in the house, and you're sitting in the sukkah, and whenever you want to eat, you lean over and take food from the table, and then you lean back and you're sitting in the sukkah. Beis Shammai says that's not a valid way of sitting in the sukkah. We're afraid that you're going to wind up being drawn after your table and wind up in the house. But Beis Hillel says that you can fulfill your mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah that way. So the Gemara says, Omru Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai, but didn't it happen? And here's what the Gemara points out. Didn't it happen that once the elders of Beis Shammai and the elders of Beis Hillel were going to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis, and they found him sitting in the sukkah that way? He was sitting in the sukkah and his table was in the house. So Beis Shammai says that, yes, that did happen. But Beis Shammai told this Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis that if that's how you were sitting in your sukkah, you never fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah a day in your life. So what do we see from this story? That when Beis Hillel was relating the story over to Beis Shammai, they showed honor to the elders of Beis Shammai. They said that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were going to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis. So they prefaced, they gave Beis Shammai, they accorded Beis Shammai the honor that they were going, and Beis Hillel was simply tagging along with Beis Shammai. And in that merit of showing honor to their opponent, to Beis Shammai, that's at the end the deciding factor to rule in between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And the Gemara tells us at the end of item Beis, for those that have the Marmikoimnis in front of them, the Gemara tells us that this teaches us that Kol Hamashbel Atzmai, anybody who humbles themselves, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will lift them up. Anybody who raises themselves up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lower them. Anybody who is looking for greatness, greatness runs from them. And anybody who flees from greatness, greatness follows them. So Beis Hillel was humble and showing honor to their opponent Beis Shammai. And in that merit, they merited the greatness, the honor, that in majority of cases we paskin like Beis Hillel. And that's how the Baskol came out. What does this mean? What was the story behind that? That ein mashkichim bebaskol. Rabbi Yeshua says that regardless, even though there was a baskol that ruled in favor of Beis Hillel, Rabbi Yeshua still says that we're not obliged to follow the baskol. What was the story behind that? So there's a well-known Gemara, a Gemara in Baba Metzia, daf nun tes omed aleph, and this is a Gemara that involves tuma and tyra. We know that a pottery utensil is subject to tuma. It's susceptible to tumah. A pottery utensil. A pottery utensil means that you have earthenware clay and you put it in the kiln and you put it in the furnace and you turned it into karel, into pottery. That's makabel tumah. However, an earthenware vessel that was never put into the furnace, that is not makabel tumah. That's considered to be a rudimentary and unfinished clay, and such a clay is not susceptible to tumah. So the Gemara tells us that a tanur, that's an oven, a pottery oven that was glazed in the furnace, and it was chatchu chulius, it was cut into rings. So this oven, that's really a pottery oven, but it's in pieces, and you glued the pieces together, v'nosan chol ben chulio l'chulio. You put sand, you put mud, dirt, and you're holding the pieces together with dirt. So the majority of the oven was glazed in the furnace. The pieces themselves are pottery, but they're being held together with dirt, with mud, with sand. So there's a machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer says that this oven is tahar. It's not susceptible to tumah because since the oven is being held together with simple dirt, it's considered to be an earthenware utensil and it's not susceptible to tumah. But the Chachamim say that it is mekabel tumah because the Chachamim hold that we follow the pieces. The pieces of the oven are pottery, although they're glued together with the mud, but the pieces themselves are pottery, and therefore the overall oven is a pottery oven, and it's susceptible to tumah. That's the actual argument that they were discussing there. This is the tanur shalachnoi. This is the tanur that resembles a serpent. What does that mean? The Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Shekifu devarim ka'achnazu, that this oven was so controversial that it was surrounded with arguments like a serpent, the way a serpent is a circle and puts its tail next to its head. This oven was surrounded with controversy like a serpent. So here's the famous Gemara. The Gemara tells us that on that day, when Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim were arguing about the status of this oven, is this oven an earthenware oven and it's not Mekabel Tumah? Or is this oven a pottery oven and it is Mekabel Tumah? So on that day, Rabbi Eliezer said, Kol Kshuvah Sheba'olam. Rabbi Eliezer was able to ask so many different questions and bring so many different proofs that this oven should be considered tahor. It's not considered to be a pottery oven. It's considered to be just an earthenware, a mud oven, because it was held together with the unfinished clay, with the unfinished mud. But the majority did not accept his opinion. The majority insisted that this oven should be treated as a regular pottery oven that is susceptible to tumah. So says Rabbi Eliezer, Im halacha kamoisi charuv zeh yen nekar charuv min koimoi. So if the halacha follows me, this tree. This boxer tree should uproot itself and move. So the Gemara tells us the story that the boxer tree, actually the carob tree, actually picked itself up and moved 100 amis, and some say it moved 400 amis away, about 800 feet away. So the Chachamim weren't impressed. They said, you can't prove anything from a wild carob tree. Just because the tree got up and jumped 100 amis, and you said it would, if the halacha follows you, we're not going to bring a raya from a wild carob tree. So then Rabbi Eliezer gets up and says, well, if the halacha is like me, then this river should flow in the opposite direction. And lo and behold, the river flowed in the opposite direction. Again, the Chachamim were unimpressed, and they said, you can't bring a proof from a renegade river. Just because the river ran the other direction, what does that have to do with our discussion? We're discussing whether or not the oven is Mekabel Tumah. We're not discussing whether or not carob trees could jump, and we're not discussing whether or not rivers can flow in the opposite direction upstream. We're discussing whether or not this oven is Mekabel Tumah or not. You can't bring a raya from a renegade river. Rabbi Eliezer says, if the halacha is like me, the walls of the Beis Medrash should prove I'm right. And the walls of the Beis Medrash started to lean and were threatening to fall and collapse. Rabbi Yeshua got up and screamed at the walls of the Beis Medrash and said, what is this your business? If Talmidei Chachamim are arguing with one another, what does that have to do with you? How do you have the right to mix in and to tilt and to threaten to collapse? Let the Talmidei Chachamim argue about the halacha. Let us apply the methodology of the halacha. The halacha follows the majority. Acharei rabu lahatos. We rule that this oven is mekabel tumah, is susceptible to tumah. We should treat the oven as a kli cheres. So the Gemara tells us that the walls of the Beis Medrash never collapsed in honor of Rabbi Yeshua, but they never straightened out in honor of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara tells us that this shul still stands today. And if you would go visit, maybe it's like in Ripley's, the Beis Medrash that has the inclined walls, the leaning tower of Pisa. That was the proof that Rabbi Eliezer was correct, because the walls of the Beis Medrash leaned and threatened to fall in honor of Rabbi Eliezer. Not only that, a bas kol came out from the heavens and said, Malachem Eitzel Rabbi Eliezer, how dare you argue with Rabbi Eliezer? The halacha always follows Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua got up, unimpressed, stood up on his feet and said, Loi bashamayim hi, that the Torah is no longer in the heavens. What does that mean, it's no longer in the heavens? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah the Amora explains what Rabbi Yeshua was saying. The Torah was already given at Har Sinai. We no longer are obliged to listen to a bas kol. The Torah was given, and the Torah writes, it's written in the Torah, Acharei Rabba Mahatos, we're to follow the majority. So you can bring as many impressive miracles as you want. You can bring the fact that the carob tree jumped up 400 amas. You can bring the fact that the river is flowing upstream. You can bring the fact that the walls of the Beis Medrash are leaning and threatening to collapse. But none of this means anything. It's all immaterial. Loi b'shamayim hi, we follow the majority. Even a bas kol, even a heavenly voice, Hashem himself, is telling us to follow like Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha is that the Torah was already given to Klal Yisrael. No backsies. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. And the rule is, we follow the majority. The Gemara tells us at the very end of the story, an interesting anecdote, Rav Nosson found Eliyahu HaNavi and asked Eliyahu HaNavi, what's Hashem doing at this time? So the Gemara tells us that Hashem is smiling. Hashem is smiling. Why? Why is Hashem smiling? Because Hashem is saying, Nitzchuni b'ni, Nitzchuni mini. My children have won up to me, right? My children are correct. My children have got me, right? Hashem was saying this tongue in cheek that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, was having nachas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was proud of Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael was taking ownership of the Torah. Klal Yisrael felt possessive of the Torah. The Torah is our Yerusha. Hashem gave us a gift. It's not our job now to listen to heavenly voices. It's our job to toil in the Torah and to arrive at the conclusions using the methods of drush that were given to us at Har Sinai. There's methods of deriving the halachas from the Torah, from the sugya, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu has nachas that we're taking ownership of that Torah. We're not passive, we're aggressive, we're active in the Torah, toiling and trying to arrive at the truth as we see it. And that's exactly what Hashem wants us to do. Hashem wants us to internalize and take possession of the Torah and to take ownership of the Torah. The Torah is our Torah, to live by the Torah and to internalize the Torah and to be able to arrive at the truths that we see in the Torah. Nitzchuni b'ni, nitzchuni b'ni. My children have won up to me, says Hashem, because they're right. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael and it's no longer even my place, Kavi Yochel, to decide the halacha. And if we see in the sugya there, the halacha follows the Chachamim, that indeed this tanur is considered to be a klicheres, a pottery tanur. The majority of the pieces were made out of pottery that were glazed, and therefore it is mekabel tuma. Unlike Rabbi Eliezer, we do not follow the basal. So that's the powerful story in Baba Metzia. And the Gemara tells us the same thing in Erevin, on Davava Medeis, and in many places. The Gemara tells us there's a brisa that's internally contradictory. The Gemara tells us the halacha follows Beis Hill, but if you want to do like Beis Shammai, you can do like Beis Shammai. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? If the halacha follows Beis Hillel, how can you tell me a second later, that if you want to follow Beis Shammai, you can follow Beis Shammai? So says the Gemara, it's not a contradiction, because the first part of the Braisa that says halacha follows Beis Hillel, that was after the Bas Kol. The second part of the Braisa that says if you want to follow Beis Shammai, that was before the Bas Kol. So that's consistent with what we learned. But then the Gemara tells us, if you'd like, we can say that both parts of the Braisa are after the Bas Kol. When the Braisa says the halacha follows Beis Hillel, that's if you follow the Bas Kol. When the Braisa says a second later that if you want, you can follow Beis Shammai in spite of the Bas Kol, that's because that second half of the Braisa is Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua was of the opinion that we're not mashkiach the Bas Kol, we're not obliged to listen to a Bas Kol, and we can continue following Beis Shammai's ruling. So we have the Gemara in Yevamis. The Gemara in Yevamis tells us that according to Shmuel, Beis Shammai never followed Beis Hillel. They always went off in their own direction, and they were allowed to go off in their own direction because Acharei Rabim Lahatos didn't apply, because their arguments were sharper and more penetrating than Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel was the majority, but Beis Shammai was the sharper of the two, and they were, so to speak, on some level more right than Beis Hillel, and they were not obligated to follow Beis Hillel. And even after the Bas Kol came out, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua says, Imashkikim Bas Kol. Tosfos in Baba Metzia asks an obvious question, that the Gemara tells us in Yevamis that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. After all, after everything said and done, We do paskin like Beis Hillel. And the reason we paskin like Beis Hillel, according to the Gemara, is because of the Bas Kol. So apparently, we do follow a Bas Kol. Rabbi Yeshua had a very powerful argument. It's a very dramatic story in Bava Metzia that Rabbi Yeshua got up on his and stood up on his feet and yelled, "Ein mashkichim b'bas kol." The Torah was already given to Bnei Adam. It was a very powerful story. But at the end of the day, we do paskin like Beis Hillel, and we do follow the Bas Kol. So how could Gemara tell us in Bava Metzia that we ignored the Bas Kol that ruled like Rabbi Eliezer, and we paskin like the Chachamim? Do we follow a Bas Kol or not? It's almost like it's a contradiction between the two Gemaras. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says that we don't follow the Bas Kol, and we paskin like the Chachamim that the oven is susceptible to Tumah because it's treated as a pottery oven. We follow the pieces, not the clay in between. And the Gemara in Yevamis tells us that at the end of the day, we paskin like Beis Hillel because we do paskin like the Bas Kol. So do we follow a Bas Kol or not? The Gemara in Bava Metzia says that we don't follow the Bas Kol because we ended up paskining like the Chachamim that the oven is tamei. And the Gemara in Yevamis tells us that we paskin like Beis Hillel because we do paskin like the Bas Kol. So Tosfos in Bava Metzia asks this as a contradiction between the two sugyas. So Tosfos answers in Bava Metzia that it depends. And it's going to emerge here that there's actually two different opinions. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says that we don't follow the Bas Kol, and that we paskin like the Chachamim that the oven is tamei, in spite of the Bas Kol. Why? Because the Bas Kol was going keneged. It was going against what the Torah says. The Torah says, Achri Rabim Lahatos. The Torah says, you follow the majority. The majority of the Chachamim felt that the oven should be treated as a klicheres. It should be mekabel tuma. A Bas Kol comes out and rules in favor of Rabbi Eliezer, the minority. So we go with the Torah. The Torah already said, Achri Rabim Lahatos. That's why we paskin like the Chachamim against the Bas Kol, because the Torah itself says to follow the majority. The Gemara in Yevamis, we end up paskining like Beis Hillel. Why? Because the Bas Kol was consistent with what it says in the Torah. We weren't sure if we should follow the majority because Beis Hillel is the majority, or should we follow Beis Shammai because they were the sharper of the two. The Bas Kol is being machria. The Bas Kol is deciding, is revealing to us that we should still follow what it says in the Torah, Achri Rav Lahatos. So in Yevamis, the Bas Kol was not keneged the Torah. On the contrary, the Bas Kol was consistent with what it says in the Torah. The Bas Kol was telling us to follow the majority, Achri Rav Lahatos. So that's a very simple difference. The Gemara in Yevamis, we end up ruling like Beis Hillel, and we follow the Bas Kol because the Bas Kol was consistent with what it says in the Torah. Before the Bas Kol, we weren't sure if we should follow the majority or if we should follow Beis Shammai, who were known, they were acknowledged to be sharp. The Bas Kol comes out and tells us you should still follow the majority. It's consistent with what it says in the Torah. That's why we did follow the Bas Kol. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, the Bas Kol was neged. It was against what it says in the Torah. The Chachamim were the majority. The Chachamim wanted to treat the oven as a klicheres, as a pottery utensil that is susceptible to tumah. The Bas Kol was going against the majority. That's why we don't rule like the Bas Kol, we paskin like the Chacham. That's what Tosfos says, a very clear distinction. Why we do paskin like the Bas Kol in the Gemara Yevamis, like Beis Hillel, while at the same time we don't paskin like the Bas Kol in Bava Metzia, that was going against the majority opinion, against the Chacham. What did Rabbi Yeshua hold in Bava Metzia? Because Rabbi Yeshua still got up on his two feet and screamed, "Ein mashkichin b'bas kol," even though the Bas Kol was consistent with what it says in the Torah. Even though the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia, Rabbi Yeshua says, "Ein mashkichin b'bas kol," and the Gemara in Yevamis applies that even to the dispute between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. The Gemara tells us that according to Rabbi Yeshua, you don't listen to a Bas Kol even when it's consistent with what it says in the Torah. So Tosfos tells us that Rabbi Yeshua is another opinion. Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is that you never listen to a Bas Kol, even when it's consistent. So we actually have two opinions in the Gemara. We have the Stamma de Gemara. We have the Gemara itself that used the Baskol to Paskin like Beis Hillel, because it was consistent with what it says in the Torah. And we did not use the Baskol in the story in Bava Metzia, because the Baskol was against what it says in the Torah. But then we have Rabbi Yeshua himself. Rabbi Yeshua himself allowed the Shammai to go off in their own direction, because Rabbi Yeshua himself is a second opinion that we're never required to listen to a Baskol, even if the Baskol is consistent with what it says in the Torah. So we actually have a dispute. This is item above in the notes, that there are two opinions in the Gemara. The Chachamim hold that we follow the Baskol if it's consistent with what it says in the Torah. And Rabbi Yeshua himself says, Ein mashgichin b'baskol, we never listen to a Baskol, even if it would be consistent with what it says in the Torah. That's why the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that according to Rabbi Yeshua, Beis Shammai was still allowed to go off on their own, because according to Rabbi Yeshua, you never have to listen to a Baskol. So we have two opinions. How does the Rambam paskin? The Rambam says in Hilchos Yesodi HaTorah, in Perek Tes Halacha Dalet, a fascinating Rambam. The Rambam is talking about a Navi Sheker. The Rambam is talking about executing a false prophet. If a Navi gives a prophecy and it turns out he was lying, it was a false prophet, so it's a capital offense. He's executed. He receives it's a capital punishment. He receives chenek, death through strangulation. So says the Gemara. The Gemara says like this. Says the Rambam. If a Navi comes along and says, this is the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodi HaTorah Perek Tes Halacha Dalet. If a Navi comes along and says that the Halacha in the Torah follows a certain view, because there was an unresolved machlekes, but Hashem came to me in a dream, in a vision, and paskined like so and so. So says the Rambam, he's a Navi Sheker. He's considered a false prophet, because the Rambam says that a Navi would never receive a Nevuah from Hashem to rule in favor of one Talmud Chacham over another, and he's Yechnak, he receives Chenek. Even if the Navi is able to perform a miracle that he's right, because the Navi is arguing on what it says in the Torah, because the Torah already told us that the Torah was given to people, it's our job to arrive at conclusions. If we ever have a dispute that we're unable to resolve, so then the halacha treats it as a suffix, and even a Navi is not allowed to come with the power of Nevuah, he's not allowed to claim that he received the prophecy to rule in favor of one of the Talmid Chachamim over the other. And to the extent, says the Rambam, that he would be deemed a false prophet and he would be executed because he's a Navi Sheker. He's arguing on what it says in the Torah, Loi B'Shamayim. What do we see from this Rambam? The Rambam is not mincing words. The Rambam says that a Navi who rules in favor of one Man D'Omar over another with the power of Nevuah is a Navi Sheker. It can't happen. He's arguing on what it says in the Torah. We see from here that the Rambam is paskening like Rabbi Yeshua, that Loi B'Shamayim he, even when it's consistent with what it says in the Torah. Because after all, the Navi is not claiming to go against any of the Klalim in the Torah. He's not arguing on the majority. He's simply being Machriya. Like Tosfos said, he's being machriya between two opinions, and he's saying that I had a dream that the halacha follows one of these two opinions, and the Navi is treated as a Navi Sheker, because even that is considered going against what it says in the Torah. The Rambam is clearly paskening like Rabbi Yeshua, that loy b'shamayim he means that the Torah, the Baskol, is not allowed to decide in favor of one over the other. The Kesef Mishnah, that's the Beis Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Kesef Mishnah actually has a big problem. That how could the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Yeshua that we are not to listen to a Baskol, that a Navi can't be believed to rule in favor of one opinion over another opinion, says the Kesef Mishnah, avokashali, but I have a big problem. Because it says in Perakama Diyavamis, the Kesef Mishnah asks basically Tosfos' question, that the Gemara in Yevamos says that a Baskol came out and ruled in favor of Beis Hillel, because as long as the Baskol is consistent with what it says in the Torah, then we do listen to a paschal. And we know, says the Kesef Mishnah, that we paschal like Beis Hillel. We always paschal like Beis Hillel. In the majority of cases, we paschal like Beis Hillel. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that the basis for paschaling like Beis Hillel is the paschal. So we see from the Gemara that, like Tosfos says, that as long as the paschal is consistent with what it says in the Torah, then we do listen to the paschal. So how could the Rambam paschal like Rabbi Yeshua that we don't listen to a paschal even when it is consistent, even when it's merely deciding between two mandamrim in the Gemara? So says the Kesef Mishnah leaves that question as an unresolved question. The Kesef Mishnah doesn't understand. According to the Rambam, why do we paschal like Beis Hillel? When the paschal is disqualified from ruling even when it's consistent with what it says in the Torah. And the Kesef Mishnah remains with the Tzarechia. So the Tosfos HaRosh in Meseches Nida on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, it's printed in the Gemara itself. Usually the Tosfos HaRosh is printed in a separate sefer, but it's printed on the margin of the Daf in Meseches Nida. The Tosfos HaRosh himself sort of asks this question, because it says there that Rabbi Yeshua always paskened like Beis Hillel. He never paskened like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, and it says that Rabbi Yeshua always paskened like Beis Hillel. So asks the Tosfos HaRosh, mamish this question. Rabbi Yeshua is the one who says, "Ein mashgichem bebaskol." Rabbi Yeshua says we never paskin like a baskol, even when it's consistent with what it says in the Torah. So why does Rabbi Yeshua himself paskin like Beis Hillel if Rabbi Yeshua himself disqualifies a baskol even when it's consistent with what it says in the Torah? So the Tosfos HaRosh is essentially asking the Kesef Mishnah's Kasha, the same Kasha the Kesef Mishnah asks on the Rambam. Why does the Rambam ordinarily paskin like Beis Hillel if the Rambam says that a baskol or a Navi can't decide the halacha? Why does the Rambam paskin like Beis Hillel? So the Tosfos HaRosh asks the identical question on Rabbi Yeshua himself. Rabbi Yeshua was the one who got up on his two feet and said that we never listen to a paschal, even when it's consistent with what it says in the Torah, and still Rabbi Yeshua himself paskins like Beis Hillel. The identical question that the Kesef Mishnah asked on the Rambam, the Tosfos HaRosh asks the identical question on Rabbi Yeshua himself. So answers the Tosfos HaRosh that Rabbi Yeshua paskins like Beis Hillel for the other reason given in the Gemara. The other reason given in the Gemara was because Beis Hillel was the majority. So the Gemara debated, do we paskin like the majority or do we paskin like Beis Shammai because they were sharper? So the Gemara went back and forth. So Rabbi Yeshua himself is of the opinion that we should paskin like the majority, even when the minority opinion seems sharper to us, we should still paskin in favor of the majority. So that's what the Rambam would say as well. The Rambam would say that although we're never allowed to listen to a baskol, that's the baskol is disqualified, it's not allowed into the court of law, it's that evidence is precluded from being brought into the court of law, we have to be able to decide the halacha ourselves. Nevertheless, the reason why we paskin like Beis Hillel is for the other reason that the Gemara gives, because we simply follow the majority. It doesn't matter if the minority seems like it's a stronger argument, a sharper argument. We paskin like the majority. So there are two different reasons why we paskin like Beis Hillel. Either we paskin like Beis Hillel because we simply follow the majority, or we paskin like Beis Hillel because the baskol is consistent with what it says, Achri Rabin Lahatis. And this is a fundamental machlekes, if you're allowed to listen to a baskol when it's consistent with what it says in the Torah. Tosfos says, and the Gemara tells us that we could, but the other way of looking at it is that we still can't listen to a baskol. And the Rambam doesn't mince words. According to the Rambam, if a Navi would come in and say that with the power of his nevuah, he wants to rule like in favor of one of the opinions, he would be considered a false prophet because he's falsely prophesizing against what it says in the Torah, according to the Rambam's opinion. So it's like black or white. It's either in Gan Eden or it's in Gehenna. Because according to Tosfos, we can follow a baskol if it's consistent with what it says in the Torah, while according to the Rambam, that would be considered a capital crime to use the power of Nevuah to meddle into a halachic issue when we have to arrive at the conclusion ourselves. For those of you that have the notes, if you look in footnote number one, so I quoted...
It's Ezra. Sure. I heard a basketball that Rose Polo is now the host.
Oh, so let me see if I can post it. I'm going to try to share the screen now. So I never did this before. Okay, so we'll do this next time. Unless Ezra, unless you want to post it, you want to take it back and post.
I'm actually driving.
You're driving. Okay, so I'll have to learn how to do it. I'll have to learn how to do it next time. So I'll read to you what I wrote here in the footnote number one from the Drush's Haran. The Ran tells us very interestingly. The Ran tells us what we've been saying all along. The Ran tells us that a Talmud Chacham is the one who should permit the Sfeikus of the Torah. Because the Talmud Chacham is the foundation of everything. And on the contrary, a Navi has to listen to the Talmud Chacham. If a Navi would come and say that I was inspired through a heavenly Nevuah in the Mishpatei HaTorah, that my Nevuah tells me to listen to one opinion over the other, we're not allowed to listen to the Navi. Because we see that although Rebbe Eliezer had the more correct opinion, Rebbe Eliezer was the one who said that the oven should be considered to be an earthenware oven, that it's not susceptible to Tumah. Although we had all of these heavenly signs that Rebbe Eliezer seemed to be more correct than the Chachamim, and that his heavenly signs were true, and that at In Shemayim itself they were deciding in his favor, nevertheless, says the Ran, the Chachamim ruled according to the majority view that the oven is susceptible to Tumah. Since their mortal seichel ruled that the oven should be mekabel tumah, what should I tell you? We learned the sugya. This is the conclusion that we arrived at. We've been working on this sugya for 2 weeks. We feel that the oven is susceptible to tumah. You're going to tell me that the heavenly baskel, Hashem himself, feels otherwise. But the Torah was given to us, and we feel that this should be the halacha. Since our mortal seichel is inclined to think that the oven should be considered tameh, even though they knew that Hashem feels otherwise, they were not allowed, this is incredible, they were not allowed to follow the heavenly opinion, because had they followed the heavenly opinion, they would be violating their own principles, says the Ran. They would be violating what it says in the Torah, Acharei Rabu Mahatos, because they feel that the oven should be considered tameh. If they would rule in favor, if they would buckle in favor of the baskel and rule that the oven is tahor, they would be in violation of their own principles, in violation of what is said in the Torah, Acher Rav Mahatois, because their seichel, their human mortal minds, based on their interpretation of what it says in the Torah, decides that the oven should be tameh. The Torah was already given to the Chachmei Doris based on their opinion, and that becomes the halacha, and that's what Hashem commanded us. Hashem commanded us to follow our interpretation of the Torah. It's a mind-boggling thing, and that's what the Gemara tells us, that Hashem was smiling, and Hashem said, nitzchuni bini, my children won up me, because Hashem, it was almost like Hashem was testing them. Are you taking ownership of the Torah? I gave you the Torah, and I told you to decide the halacha in how you see what the halacha is. It's not subjective, and we can't waver. It's not up to us. We can't sometimes decide one way, sometimes decide the other way. But if we use the methodology of learning the Torah and we arrive at a certain conclusion, that conclusion is the conclusion that Hashem wants us to follow. And it doesn't matter, so to speak, that if on some level the truth is the other way. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, the halacha follows. There's no right or wrong. If a person is learning the sugya and he's authorized and he has the skills and he's authorized, he has the mesorah, he's following the traditional approach to learning and the methodology involved in the learning, and he arrives at a certain conclusion, then that conclusion is considered a true conclusion, and he's entitled to follow that conclusion, unless the majority rules otherwise. But if we can't decide the halacha, each opinion is valid, like Hashem himself said, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. when Hashem sent out a bas kol contrary to that, Hashem was testing them to see if they would take ownership of the Torah and take ownership of their position acharei rabu mahatis. So at the end of the day, we have a machoikes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yeshua if the bas kol is consistent with what it says in the Torah. According to Rabbi Yeshua, we're still not allowed to paskin based on the bas kol, and that's the opinion of the Rambam. And according to the other opinion of the Gemara would say that we could listen to a bas kol if it's consistent with what it says in the Torah. Not in the case of the Tanur, because that was against the Rabbam. Now, the Achronim, they discuss various things. There's a famous sefer called Shailos and Tshuvos Min HaShamayim, that one of the Bali Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yaakov Meimorish. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but there's a sefer from Rabbeinu Yaakov, one of the Rishonim, one of the early Rishonim, one of the Bali Tosfos, who has written a sefer Shailos and Tshuvos Min HaShamayim, and this Rishon, this Bali Tosfos, claims that all of the unresolved halachas that we have, he was given a heavenly voice how to rule in favor of which amira to rule. And it was machriya min hashamayim, all the sfeikas of the ravisa. So this is a sefer shalos and tshuvos min hashamayim. So the chida in Shem HaGedolim, Mareches Yud writes that how do we come to terms with this sefer shalos and tshuvos min hashamayim? The Rambam says that you're not allowed to rely on a bas kol to decide the halacha. And here we have an entire sefer based on heavenly voices paskening and ruling undecided halachas. So says the Chida, hine, behold, nochel loimar, that the best answer, says the Chida, is that this Rishon, Rabbeinu Yaakov, disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam says that it would be a navi sheker to decide, it's a capital offense to decide halachas based on a navi. But as we pointed out, that's really a dispute in the Gemara. That's Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. But the Chachamim, they ruled in favor of Beis Hillel in the Gemara Yevamos based on a bas kol, as long as it's consistent with what it says in the Torah. So it's simply a machlokes. Rabbi Yeshua says you are not to follow a bas kol even when it's consistent with what it says in the Torah. And the Chachamim in Maseches Yevamos says that we could follow a bas kol as long as it's consistent with what it says in the Torah. So the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Yeshua, and this Rabbeinu Yaakov from Meroish, who wrote an entire sefer, Shalos and Tshuvos Min HaShamayim, says the Chida that the best answer is, the best way to understand this is, that this Rabbeinu Yaakov simply argues on the Rambam, and he paskens like the Chachamim in the Gemara, that you are allowed to listen to a bas kol as long as it's consistent with the methodology of the Torah. You have a machlokes. You have a machlokes in the Gemara. It's not against the majority. It's two opinions in the Gemara. So a bas kol could be relied upon to rule in favor of one over the other. Not like the Rambam. The imet mishamayim meyav yoyev amira ni'ima al haidah v'din echad kahalacha. If from a heavenly voice would pass him like one of the ways, we would listen to it. And aid memahir, so says the Chida, what's the biggest proof to that? The biggest proof to that is the Kesef Mishnah's Kasha and the Tosis of Rosh's Kasha that the Gemara says in Yevamos we pass like Beis Hillel based on a bas kol. So although Rabbi Yeshua objected to that, but the Stam of the Gemara passes like Beis Hillel based on a bas kol. So Rabbeinu Yaakov passed like the Gemara in Yevamos, not like Rabbi Yeshua, not like the Rambam. He passed in that you are allowed to listen to a bas kol as long as it's consistent with the principles of the Torah. Rabbeinu Yaakov passes like the Chachamim and not like Rabbi Yeshua. That's what the Chida says, and that would explain how he was able to write an entire sefer based on Kshuvis that he received from Shammai. There's a Gemara in Temura on Daf. So someone's writing in, are there cases when we pass it? There are a few Ravids also. The Ravid, when he argues on the Rambam, in Hilchos Lulav, the Ravid argues on the Rambam, and the Ravid says that there was a hashpa of Ruach HaKodesh in the Beis Medrash to show me this ruling. So apparently the Ravid also held, like Rabbeinu Yaakov, that you are allowed to listen to a bas kol to decide a halacha as long as it's not contrary to the methodology of the Torah. There's a Gemara in Temura and daf tezayin amet aleph, a well-known Gemara. Om Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, shloishes alafim halachas nishtachu bimei evlish on Moshe. When Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, so 3,000 halachas were forgotten out of the grief of the avelus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So 3,000 halachas were forgotten during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara actually tells us that this was a punishment to Yeshua. Before Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Moshe Rabbeinu calls over his prime disciple, he calls over Yeshua, and he says, Yeshua, now is the time to ask me. Ask me anything that you need to know, because I'm going upstairs. That's it. I'm only here for a few more minutes. Ask me anything you need to know, and I'll tell you. So Yeshua says, my Rebbe, I've faithfully followed all of your teachings. I know everything there is that you can teach. So there was an element here of arrogance that Yeshua didn't feel that it was necessary to clarify, to ask anything of his teacher, Moshe Rabbeinu. And as a punishment, it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, 3,000 halachas were forgotten. So it was forgotten because of the avelus, because of the grief of the avelus. But it was actually, there was an element here of punishment, that as a punishment for not utilizing the moment of reviewing everything with Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua forgot 3,000 halachas. And it says there that Klal Yisrael was threatening to stone Yeshua because they couldn't believe that Yeshua would be so remiss, would be so negligent with the Mesiris HaTorah. So in any case, they asked Yeshua, Sha'al, why can't, you're a Navi, Yeshua, you're a Navi, why can't you just ask Hashem? He'll tell you the halachas again. So Omar Le, Lo B'Shamayim. So Yeshua said that the Torah is no longer in heaven, I can't ask. They said to Shmuel, Shmuel was a Navi, later in history, ask. So he said to them, Eila HaMitzvah She'en HaNavi Rashor L'Chavish Dovra Miata, that a Navi no longer has permission to bring halachas down from Shemayim through the process of Nevuah. So Amar Rav Avohu says, Afo Pikein Hechziron Asniel Ben Knaz Mitoich Pilpuloi, that Asniel Ben Knaz, with his pilpul, with his penetrating analysis, he was given the Siyata Deshmaya to delve into the Torah, and he was able to restore not through Nevuah, but through the normal methods of learning, he was able to restore, he was able to remind himself of all the halachas that were forgotten. He was able to prove them, he was able to derive them, and that's how eventually these 3,000 halachas were eventually restored. So we see from here in the Gemara in Torah, again, that we're not allowed to rely on a baskol. It's out of the realm to go back and ask Hashem to teach us the halachas that we once forgot. I wrote here in the footnote that perhaps someone could think that this Gemara follows the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, that you're no longer allowed to ask a baskol, even when the answer would be consistent with the words of the Torah, because after all, the baskol is not arguing on anything. We simply forgot the halacha. The baskol is simply reminding us of the halacha. But on the other hand, it could be that even the Rabbeinu Yaakov, or even the Chachamim in the Gemara Nivamis would agree, because to restore a halacha from scratch when we have no idea what the halacha is, maybe that would be a violation of Loi B'Shamayim Hi, even according to the Chachamim, even according to the other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yaakov. It's only if we have decided, we have defined for ourselves two clear opinions, and each opinion is passionate about its opinion, then perhaps we can rely on a baskol to be machriya, just like the baskol in Yevamis was machriya between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. After two clear opinions were formulated, then we can listen to a baskol. But for the baskol to simply come and hand us on a silver platter the halachas that we forgot, everybody might agree that that's a violation of Loi B'Shamayim. The Maritz Chias asks Akasha on a Rashi in Maseches Sukkah. Rashi says in Sukkah, Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us there, and this comes up a few places in Shas, the Gemara tells us, Shachachem v'chazer v'yastam. The Gemara tells us that the Nevi'im enacted a certain halacha. There the Gemara is specifically talking about waving the Aravis in the Beis HaMikdash. It tells us that they forgot the halacha, and the Nevi'im came along and they reestablished it. So on a simple level, we could have understood that the Nevi'im they're the ones who happen to restore the halacha, similar to how Asniel ben Knaz in Maseches Tmura was machzir something with his pilpul. But Rashi says something there astounding. Rashi says that the Nevi'im, that Klal Yisrael forgot the halacha of chibut aravis, of waving the aravis, of circling the Mizbeach with the aravis in the Beis HaMikdash, on Sukkos. And Rashi says, shachacha mechadru v'yastum al pi dibur. Rashi says something astounding. Rashi says, it was al pi dibur, it was through a heavenly voice, that it was shachacha mechadru v'yastum. So the Maritz Chias asks, leaving aside the argument between Rabbeinu Yaakov and the Rambam about whether we're allowed to follow the heavenly voice, what do we simply do with the Gemara in Temura? The Gemara in Temura says that you're not allowed to restore forgotten halachas through a basko, laba shemayim hi. So the Maratz Chias makes an interesting distinction, these things are beyond our comprehension, between Nevuah and between Ruach HaKodesh. I think both of these levels of prophecy are above most of our comprehension, but there's such a thing as Nevuah. Nevuah is when Hashem simply speaks to the prophet and tells him something. So the Torah can't be given anymore through that medium. Ruach HaKodesh is when a person is divinely inspired. A person is divinely inspired. He could achieve an understanding, a level of understanding in Torah through Ruach HaKodesh, because that was really through his own efforts. He elevated himself to a level where he sees things that other people aren't able to see. He's able to understand and fathom things that other people are not able to understand. And that might be what Rashi means. Rashi says that they were shachachum, people forgot one of those halachas, the halacha specifically of surrounding the Mizbeach with the Aravis, and the Nevi'im were able to restore that halacha. Rashi uses the expression al-pi dibor, it was through a heavenly statement, but suggests the Maratz Chias that it was Ruach HaKodesh as opposed to Nevuah. And the Mefarshim explain, Rabbi Yaakov Hill, he's a Kabbalist in Eretz Yisrael, he's Masbir, that sometimes, and even we on our level, sometimes experience something similar to this. A person is learning a sugya, we don't understand, and all of a sudden a light bulb goes off. And we finally get an understanding. And we say to ourselves, how did I merit to understand this? I never would have imagined that I would have understood this sugya with such clarity. It's a shtickel Ruach HaKodesh. The person approaches a sugya, he's learning something, it's a difficult topic, he's not making any headway, and all of a sudden he wakes up, or he approaches the Gemara the next day, and a light bulb shines, and he has a clarity that he didn't imagine he would have before. It's a shtickel Ruach HaKodesh. So says the Mefarshim that might be what the Maratz Chias means, that might be what Rashi means in Maseches Sukkah, that we are allowed to use Ruach HaKodesh. We're allowed to use divinely inspired thoughts. We sense that we were given this as a matar. You know, we lost Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal, in our generation, the closest thing we had to prophet or Navi or to the previous generations. We can only imagine the Vilna Gaon who knew Kol HaTorah Kula, and he even sent away a Malach. A Malach wanted to teach the Vilna Gaon Torah, he sent them away. The stories we hear about Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that he was learning the halachas of locusts, of the kosher grasshoppers, and he wasn't able to understand a detail of the halacha, and then lo and behold, that very grasshopper appeared on his gemara, jumped in from the window and appeared on his gemara. The clearly hashgacha pratis, clearly divinely inspired understanding. So says the Mefarshim, that is something that we're allowed to use and enjoy and understand with. We can use the heavenly assistance to understand our learning. And sometimes on some small level, we all have this, that we think of a chiddush, we think of an idea, and we feel that it's something special, it's divinely inspired. That's something that we can, in a small way, we can relate to that. So to sum it up, we have a machaikas between the Gemara in Yevamis and Rabbi Yeshua in Bab Metzia. The Gemara in Yevamis tells us that we could use a baskol to be machriya, to decide between two sides, as long as the baskol is consistent with the methodology of the Torah. We have Rabbi Yeshua who says, still, you can't use a bas kol, period. The Rambam seems to paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. Other Rishonim, the Ravid, when in his Asagas on the Rambam, and this Rabbeinu Yaakov, Shalos and Shuvos Min HaShemayim, he says you could use a bas kol to decide in favor of one opinion over another. We have a Rashi in Maseches Sukkah who says that the Nevi'im received a dibur in order to restore a halacha, and that's in contrast to the Gemara in Tmura. So the Maratzchias tells us that even though it's lava shemayim and we're not allowed to enlist heavenly help to bring down the halachas again, nevertheless, when we're learning and we're immersed in the learning and we're machzer bepilpula, we sometimes feel divinely inspired. We sometimes feel that we were given a heavenly aid to understand something that we wouldn't imagine we would understand. That's something that we're allowed to use because that came through a level of immersion that we elevated ourselves through our own learning. I had my own to offer my own two cents. If we could suggest the reason behind Lav B'Shamayim Hi, perhaps we can understand because Hashem gave us the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem doesn't want that tomorrow some other prophet is going to come and claim that the Torah is different or a different Torah was given. So Hashem tells us from the onset, this is a one-time thing. I'm giving the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is it. We are never going to give more Torah through a Navi anymore. This is what, now it's in your hands, and now the halacha is decided through the diligence and the study of the Talmid Chacham. The Torah Tmima tells us in Parshas Pachu Kaisai that although Eliyahu is not allowed to tell us halachas, but we find all the time that Eliyahu will come and be Mavir, Yehemunach Akshiyavi Eliyahu, the Gemara brings Eliyahu in often, that's because Eliyahu is able to tell us with his chachma what the halacha is. Besides being a Navi, he was also a brilliant person. He's able to tell us with his chachma what the halacha is. Or Eliyahu is Nemun, is believed to be Mavir the Metzias. He could tell us what the Metzias, if we have a certain suffix, is this is the hide of a fish? Is it considered to be a hide or not? We're asking a physical, we're asking a Metzias question. That Eliyahu is believed to say. But to decide a halacha, to that we say Lo B'Shamayim. Once Hashem gave us the Torah is ours, it's our possession, it's our cherished heirloom of Klal Yisrael, and we have to delve and internalize and use the methodology that was given to us to arrive at the truths of the Torah, and no Navi could come and claim that he knows the answers. The Torah was given to the Talmid Chacham. Yashar Koyach, Yashar Koyach, everybody.
Yashar Koyach.
Yashar Koyach.